Welcome to the Purpose Podcast. My name is Rachel Stevens.
What's up, y'all?
With my friends, and we are here to share some reflections about the election.
Yeah, it is.
Say that five times fast.
So I can apparently.
Here with my friend Justin and Jessica, as we take some time to just reflect on the election and how we as believers can win our world in the midst of what we're living in right now. Historically, this is pretty wild to see what has happened.
Yeah.
Former President Trump, now President-elect Donald Trump. So
yeah,
former president and
big surprise to a lot of people, actually. Yeah,
a lot of surprise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we're not here to talk about whether or not to really talk about policy. We're not here to talk about whether or not we think President Trump or Vice President Harris should have won the election, but rather we're here to talk about how do we as believers respond to the world that we're living in. Because whether you are excited today or whether you are disappointed today, the result of heaven is still the same. That
it is.
God's still on the throne, and he loves us, and he's in control. So we're going to take just a second, and we're going to pray before we get into this, and we're going to talk through a couple of questions that you guys actually asked, and we're going to dialogue about how we as believers can think about the time we're living in right now. God, we love you, and we choose you in all things. We choose to love you, we choose to trust you, and we believe that you are who you say you are, that the kingdom of heaven really is coming to earth. So Holy Spirit, would you help us? Would you guard our hearts, guard our minds, fix our thoughts and our eyes on you? In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so let's kind of give ourselves a little bit of context, because we're not really going to talk about this from a political perspective. We're talking about this from a biblical perspective. So let's just start with, where in Scripture does it talk about government?
A lot of places, actually. Mm-hmm. So we have a few places. First one that you come across, a lot of people cite, is Romans chapter 13. And I won't read the whole thing, but basically it talks about submitting to the authorities. God has placed them over them. Mm-hmm. Like they're God appointed for our protection and our benefit. And so when those people are living the right way, it's good for us. And so therefore it's our responsibility to submit to them.
And when he wrote this, it wasn't like Christians were being treated super well
probably,
by the government.
Yeah. As best as we can tell, yeah, this is probably when persecution was probably turning. This is probably about 60 AD, right before Nero takes over. So persecution of Christians is on the heels of ramping up. They already have a little bit of a weird reputation historically that we can tell. And so,
and Paul's been in chains quite a bit.
He's been
before leadership, which I think is something interesting for us to note, that this instruction is given by someone who has spent time with government leaders.
Very much so.
So the wisdom that we get to walk in, that God's given us, is, hey, we see this Old Testament and New Testament. We see Daniel, who thrives under foreign leadership and government. The Israelites are in, they're in captivity.
They are in captivity.
And Daniel is a man of God who's able to lead well and influence the leaders of Babylon. And so this isn't just something we see in the New Testament. We actually see the same thing played out in the Old Testament. And we're taught the same thing over and over. Honor whomever is placed in authority over you.
And I think all the passages that we're going to cite talk to that. Paul, obviously, like we talked about the challenges Paul had. If you, like, we read the Bible now chapter verse, it's all broke up into pieces. And so a lot of times it causes us to miss what Paul's really getting at. And so the whole back half of Romans, starting at chapter 12, like, how does chapter 12 start, right?
Yeah.
Like, it starts about, like, having your mind transformed. Yep. This is
a reasonable act of worship.
Exactly. This is what Christian living looks like now that you've been transformed by the gospel.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the whole rest of that book, every single thing, chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, like, they're all talking about how our conduct is elevated from the world.
Right.
We are called to live different and higher. And ultimately, it's about us being a witness. Like, the Roman Christians, really, they would have viewed Imperial Rome as their enemy, because emperor worship was mandated. Hey, the passages leading up to that, we don't get to hate. We don't get to repay evil with evil.
Right.
It's not our privilege. Like, we don't get to avenge ourselves.
Yep.
Ultimately, this is a witness to the world that we are different.
Yep.
And
yeah, 1 Peter 2, you know, that when we're doing this, it's when we choose submission, it isn't a sign of weakness, but rather it takes the stick out of people's hands to beat you with. It is for the Lord's sake that people would see that you revere God so much so that even people you disagree with, you mm-hmm. choose not to sin against them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's really, I think that's a really hard thing for us as believers because we value justice. Mm-hmm. And we have this idea, everybody I think has their own opinion of what that looks like, how that plays out in our world today. And we're instructed, hey, when you choose honor, mm-hmm. when you choose submission, this doesn't mean that we sin, right? If the law tells us we have to sin, like, sure. hey, like we're going to take a step back and politely
but in general, disobey. In general, right?
Yes, in general.
Yeah. So yeah, he says, like, for the Lord's sake, accept the authority of every human institution, whether it's the emperor, whether it's governors, anything like that. But why is that? Look back one verse. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles. Gentiles were non-believers. So that although they malign you as evildoers, even though they say things about you, they will see your honorable deeds and glorify God when he comes mm-hmm. to judge. So the things that they say, they can't overlook how you live and see the transformed right. way that you live. And part of that is how we respond in times right. of political change or to, like, how do we respond to government? How do mm-hmm. we treat people in these election cycles? Yeah.
So let me ask this then. So scripture is really clear how we're supposed to respond.
Yes.
How do I practically, what our government isn't always acting justly.
No.
It doesn't always align with godly principles. I think that was one of the things that made this election so difficult is both sides of the aisle come up, approach different things that we value as believers in different ways. And so how do I pray for and submit to a government that I can't stand? How do I come under that person's authority when I completely disagree with them? Mm-hmm. How do we, so Jess, you tend, you're a person of peace. Mm-hmm. So why don't you talk a little bit about, hey, how do I come under and honor an authority that's over me when they're not always acting justly? Mm-hmm. You know, seek justice, love mercy, and walk humbly. Yeah. That doesn't always describe our leadership. So how do we as believers honor the Lord mm-hmm. and do what 1 Peter 2 said?
That's right.
Which is conduct ourselves mm-hmm. with respect.
Yeah. And we were talking about this earlier before we went live, but I'm always grieved in this season when believers specifically, when we don't, we get so touted up, right? Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. the day, the vote, like vote, like do the thing. Mm-hmm. And then we don't follow that with action, right? So the first point of action that we're called to do is pray for our leadership, right? Not from a fake place, but from a genuine place of like, hey, God, if I do believe that your kingdom is the kingdom, I'm going to pray for my leadership. That has been appointed, like the scripture tells us to. And I'm going to do what scripture tells us to in Philippians 4:8, set my mind on things above, on things that are true and honorable and admirable, praiseworthy, lovely, excellent, righteous, and pure. And doing that, I can pull my eyes away from, that's not to be dismissive of what the injustices are, but that is to fix my mind, my focus on something else, and genuinely pray for whoever has been placed in office, right?
Absolutely. So what do you pray? So when you pray, so Justin, when you're praying for the leadership of our nation, no matter whom is sitting in the seat, mm-hmm. what is it that you pray?
I think a beautiful scripture we can point to is actually found in the book of Proverbs. So this is chapter 8, and it's basically a poem to wise living. And one of the things he points to is to pray for the wisdom of the people who are in charge. And so I think it's important for us to allow their wisdom to be illuminated by God's truth. Even if they're mm-hmm. not believers, we believe that God is truth embodied, and therefore living according to wisdom and truth mm-hmm. can still be guided by God, even for non-believers, right? And so
right.
I want them to pursue wise things that are going to help the people live peaceably mm-hmm. and help them to prosper. Mm-hmm. And when we pursue God's principles, even we don't know, I don't know President Trump, I don't know Vice President Harris, I don't know their spiritual walk, so I can't say for sure if they're really believers, but I can still pray for them mm-hmm. and say, hey, I hope these people live by God's wisdom
yeah.
and eventually I'll pray that, hey, if they don't know Jesus, I pray that,
that's right,
yeah, like, may they have that encounter, may they have that revelation, mm-hmm, and become a son and a daughter of God. Mm-hmm. But even for now, in this moment, may they still live according to God's better way, yep, of wisdom and truth.
Yeah.
Well, and we know, like, Proverbs has several pieces where it talks about how you lead and how you live. And we know that when a government aligns with God and does things his way, the nation thrives, the people thrive. And so I love that when you say Proverbs 8, one of the things that helps me, like, hey, you can even pull these out. You don't have to pray the whole chapter if you don't want to. But some things you just say, hey, like, God, I pray that you would, that they would be trustworthy. God, I pray that they would choose wisdom and what's right over, it says silver and gold in there, so over money, mm-hmm, over fame, over power. God, I pray that they would find that your ways are better than anything else the world can offer them. I pray that, you know, that things that were, that have been removed, that were of you, God, that they would restore those things.
Mm, like, yes.
As I read through scripture, it teaches me, and we can't forget this, scripture is such a gift. It teaches you how to follow Jesus. So that's one thing is, hey, we need to pray. I think the other thing that's helpful is, like, we need to educate ourselves on what the kingdom of heaven is doing. The end of the story, mm-hmm, is that the kingdom of heaven is coming to earth.
It is.
That's, mm-hmm, you. It doesn't matter who becomes president. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if there's a one world government. It doesn't matter if there's another pandemic.
Right.
The kingdom of heaven is coming to earth. Mm-hmm. I've read the end of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And turns out God wins.
Hey.
And I am a part of that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I think sometimes we forget and we misplace responsibility. Mm-hmm. And this was some, you know, how can I pray for and how can I come up and submit to an authority I disagree with? Hey, some of it is putting my hope in the right place, mm-hmm, and then taking up the responsibility that I have.
Yep.
And I love, you know, Zach has always talks about this often, how the church forewent their responsibility, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, of taking, yep, care of widows and orphans, taking care of the ill. And when we did that, when we said, hey, I just handed over what God gave me responsibility over.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So what we can do as believers is actually pick up the things that are our responsibility,
yes,
and start with where we live right now, mm-hmm, in our city. And so that is one other way, like, hey, coming under that authority is helping them flourish. Mm-hmm. And that sounds counterintuitive because you can't stand them, but I love how God tells the people of Israel who are in captivity, they are slaves to Babylon, and he says, build Babylon up.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Make them successful. Yep. And so if you just can't stand whomever is in leadership, I would venture to say if you prayed for them that they would be successful and you worked to help make them successful, that the people under their leadership would thrive, I think your heart would change in the process.
Well, very much so. I love what you said about the kingdom of God. It is coming, and it's this beautiful tension of it's coming, and it's also here.
Already here.
It's here. And everything you're talking about is the kingdom of God. It's a kingdom that's not of this world, but we're also called to bring it into this world. And all the things you're talking about, caring for the least, the poor, the widows, and living justly, and standing up for what God says is right, are all parts of our responsibility to live out this upside-down kingdom, mm-hmm, that we're a part of. We're not, like, we're supposed to be different from the world, the way we think, the way we act, the way we love. And
what you post on the internet.
Holy Spirit, catch my thumbs. Holy Spirit, catch my thumbs.
Put it out there. Side note, you didn't pay for this. Hey, would you just practice self-control today
and every day, always.
But particularly today, do not forget that before you are a citizen of the United States, you are a citizen of heaven.
Period.
It is your chief identity. So when we put our hope and our excitement and our disappointment and depression, when we put all that we are into a form of government, mm-hmm, and that's who we believe is going to rescue and save and bring culture change. You and I had this conversation, mm-hmm, just a couple days ago. And hey, like, the culture change that we're desperate to see is not coming by the government.
Nope.
When you look at help being brought in crisis, you go to Asheville, they'll tell you. Mm. It was the local church
It was.
That was bringing aid, right. Water, that was food, bringing hope. Them. That's right. And so, hey, that's the good. Shift that you desire to see in your city, in your nation, is going to come from the body of Christ. That's what God designed us to do. Good. And so we want to make sure that when, even when we post something on the internet, that it is conducive to the kingdom of heaven coming to earth.
Amen. Speaking of, that's a great point. I think another good question that we should address is, what should I guard against in this season, right? So what should I guard my heart from, right? The scripture also says, guard your heart above all else, for from that flows all the issues of life. Mm-hmm. That's your wellspring. And so we have to guard our hearts. Mm-hmm. Definitely I had to do this, right, in the days leading up to, and probably in the next few weeks of it. What should we be guarding against as believers during this season?
There's several things. I would say, first off, it's easy for both sides, now that it's over, to slip back into apathy, because you're going to stop getting the texts. You're going to stop seeing the ads.
Stop. Capital S-T-O-P. How many times have we texted?
More. Right. Like, so the ads will stop, the texts will stop, and we're gonna, just going to slide back into the rhythm that we...
Right.
And whether our side won or whether our side lost, it is easy to just forget about... Like,
you don't get to dip for the next 4 years care again.
No.
In 2029, when the, you know, and like you said, whenever we do it again.
Dependence on only the government to be the people taking care of the poor and the widows. It is an absolute abrogation of our responsibility that God has placed on us.
Abrogation.
That's your vocab word.
Abrogation, apathy.
Aardvark, I don't know.
Listen, so hey, you don't get to check out for the next 4 years.
That's right.
And so how can I, there's some things that I had a question that came through and she said, hey, how do I educate myself? And I think this is a really important thing.
TikTok.
To know, not TikTok. Do not go on TikTok.
It's probably gone anyway.
You cannot become an expert on everything.
No.
So what issues matter to you? You know, God's given us all consciences, and this is super, this is actually a really good thing, because there are things that Jessica is really passionate about that I'm not necessarily super passionate about. Justin's passionate about that I'm not, and there's things that I'm really passionate about that they're not. They all matter to the Lord.
Yes,
yes, they do.
And so what we want to do is say, hey, the things that God has given me that like grieve my soul, there's a reason why. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do some research, and I'm not going to do it through social media. I'm not going to do it actually even through policy yet. We're going to start by educating ourselves on the problem. So first we're going to start with God's word. What does God's word say? And then we're going to look at what's actually happening. And you can Google nonpartisan research of blank. You can put anything in there. Immigration, abortion, poverty. And what will come up are several different institutions that do research simply for the sake of research. And you need to read. You are so sharp. You are so smart. You don't need somebody to tell you what to think. You are absolutely capable of getting into research that's available. You have the internet. So we can educate ourselves first on what the problem is. And as you read about the problem, you know what you're going to find out? You're probably going to have an opinion on the solution. You're actually going to.
We all do. And that's okay. And that's okay.
That's great. So then what you can do is from there, go and read policy. Again, don't listen to what a bunch of people are telling you to think or telling you what's going on. Actually go and read policy so that you're informed about what policy matters to you. And then what you can do to avoid falling into apathy is to follow up with your state's representatives. So there are people, they're elected to represent you, to represent you. And you know what? You get to tell them what you think.
I do.
So you can write letters, you can volunteer, you can spend time with men and women in leadership and share what your heart is for. And honestly, God might use you to bring solutions to these problems. But because we believe we have this fatalist thinking of nothing will ever change, which is not biblical, by the way, when we fall into the trap of fatalism, It leads us into apathy, mm-hmm. and yep. we forgo what That's God right. has given yep. us. So the passions that you have are a good thing. What we want to do is steward them well and not become apathetic.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, so what's something else so we should guard against over in this season right now?
Bitterness, anger.
Ooh. I've seen the salt blowing copiously. To use internet parlance, like there's so much salt flowing today, and so much blame going around. Yeah. It's yeah. ugly, man. It's yeah. just so ugly.
Like, and the saddest part of that as well is like we, because of algorithms and how things are set up, mm-hmm. we can find ourselves slip into an echo chamber.
Yeah,
I think this. Yeah, you do. I'm going to feed you more of it. You yeah. know what I'm saying? So the echo chamber is a dangerous place for bitterness and anger to take a root in you. And you can't find your way out of it. You can't claw your way out of it.
Well, and remember, I don't know if you guys realize this, but Facebook is designed to set you up to be frustrated and mad because it forces, yes. it's the only thing that will force you out of your box to engage.
Yep.
It increases engagement.
Mm. Anger.
Anger does.
The only thing.
So what we wow. want to do is say, hey, whoa, it's okay that you're mad. It's okay if you're disappointed mm-hmm. today. Like, I was talking with a friend, and she asked me this. She said, hey, is it bad that I'm sad and I still believe that Jesus is on the throne? No, it's not wrong that mm-hmm. you're disappointed. Hey, there was a way that you wanted things to play out, and it didn't play out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not, it's not wrong to be disappointed. It is wrong to, in our sin and in our sadness, when our anger and our sadness to sin. Mm. And so we cannot allow grief to become our God, and we cannot allow anger to lead us into bitterness. Because bitterness will root in and begin to flow into every part of your life. And how silly would it
how
be?
How silly.
If we let a presidential election ruin relationships in our family. There are people who don't talk to their family anymore mm-hmm. over politics.
Yep.
You're never going to... Most of us it's are wild. Never even going to sit in the room with anyone who has been in the Oval Office.
No. At all.
And we're not going to talk to our mom anymore.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like.
Just because she pulled a different lever than you, is that's the most absurd thing.
So we've got to take a step back.
It's so reductionist because like we reduce, it's like you said, anger, we reduce people to these tropes.
Mm-hmm.
And Pastor Zach actually talked about it on a weekend. I love the way he phrased it. Like, hey, if you vote for Republican, that means... You want to deny women the right to choose, mm-hmm. and you're sexist. Mm-hmm. And if you vote Democrat, you hate babies.
Mm-hmm.
We build these totems of people, and when we mm-hmm. stop seeing them as people in need of Jesus, we've lost the plot.
Yep.
We're never going to win our world if all we see them is an enemy.
Yep.
Yeah. Just because you don't like someone does not give you the right to sin against them. You are still held accountable for every word you speak, and not just every word you speak and every word you type, but every thought we think. Mm. We're held accountable for that. And so just like it is, hey, I'm mad that someone didn't vote the same way as me. Okay, well, let's ask some questions about why that bothers us, because there's probably a belief at the bottom of it, and that belief's probably not true.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we vote differently at this table, we didn't all say do all the same things and vote all the same things. And so when we sit down and we say, hey, if that bothers me, can I ask why?
Mm-hmm.
And saying, hey, if you vote that way, it tells me you believe this. Mm. And I can say, oh my gosh, that's not true.
Right.
What I believe the same thing you believe, I just disagree in the strategy on how we're going to see it handled. Or perhaps we can learn something from one another and the experiences that we've had in our lives and take a seat back and say, hey, I've learned something new, and actually I think my mind might be changed.
And I can love somebody better because of it.
Yes, and the inability to have a soft heart. And this is like we pride ourselves on having hard hearts, but Scripture is like... It's clear, like when you give your life to Jesus, the opposite happens to you.
Yep.
Your heart is made soft.
Soft.
Yep.
And so I just want us to like remember, if you don't have the ability to ask questions and to have your heart be soft, you're not going to lead well. God has set you apart to win your world. That's a leadership position. So, hey, how are you going to lead?
Mm-hmm.
If you're disappointed today, how are you going to lead? Now, if you're excited today, I think you need to guard against triumphalism.
Ooh. Let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about it.
No one likes a sore loser. They definitely don't like a sore winner. Yes. Just because your candidate won doesn't mean anything changed. No. Yesterday and today, there are still people on your block that need to know Jesus.
Yes.
There's still moms that need help buying food for their kids. Mm-hmm. There's still families that are falling apart that need somebody to teach them how to have a healthy marriage. Mm-hmm. There's still people trapped in poverty. And our job as believers is not to, again, abdicate our responsibility or abrogate. What word did
abrogate,
you?
Abrogate, yeah.
Abrogate our responsibility. Nice. But rather, it's so good. But rather say, hey, my job didn't change today. The Great Commission didn't change from yesterday to today.
Yeah.
No.
Matthew 28 still stands.
Yeah.
That I...
Last night did not take God by surprise at all.
No. He knew what was going to happen. And for some of us, there is real fear right now. Like, there's real fear. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who... they're a transgender. And when Roe v. Wade was overturned, we had a conversation and said, hey, like, these are the things that I'm afraid of as policy changes.
Mm-hmm. Right, because the fear is that there's a cascade, and if they came for Roe v. Wade, then they're going to come for Obergefell versus Hodges, and correct. Then so. Yeah.
And so there are, and it doesn't, in that moment, I know what truth is, and hey, they know what I believe, and I can sit there and empathize and say, hey, I hear how you might be afraid. And also, I'm not going to make a way for people to sin. But as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, I have a duty to honor the dignity that each human being is due.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You are an image bearer of Christ.
Yes.
Yep.
So we want to remember that as I see many believers who treat people who are not believers, by the way, who are drinking whatever water they can get their hands on. They are thirsting to death, desperate for the gospel. And instead of handing them the gospel, we chastise them and shame them and honestly create a spirit of fear, an atmosphere where a spirit of fear can thrive. Instead of saying, whoa, let me create a space where you know you can come sit at the table. You don't get to do whatever you want at my kitchen table. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody gets to throw food over here.
Yeah.
But you do get to come and eat dinner.
Come eat dinner.
You do get to come be together. Sure. And so I want us to make sure that culture change, remember, culture change happens from the inside out.
Yeah.
And we do need to be aware, and I think it's just something to be said. I was reading something that talks about how the candidates that a nation has is reflection of the culture of the nation.
Yep. Very much so.
Because the rhetoric, especially for this one, over and over was, I can't believe these are the two choices, right?
But it
reflects.
Hey, but it reflects who we are.
Who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I think for us as believers, we need to take a step back and honestly heed the encouragement and wisdom of John DeBerry, which we did on the podcast last time. And Pastor DeBerry, who has served in government, in state government, for over two decades.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, hey, like, your job as a believer is to be actively engaged in the place that you live.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, if we want to see different candidates and we want to see different leadership and we want to see godly values and the way and care for people to move forward in our nation, then that means we have to pick up that responsibility and do it.
Yep.
And I think it speaks to what you said a second ago. We have to understand why the candidates, because the candidates that we got were the ones that we got, because we could all look at each other and say, why in the world did we wind up with of all the 300 plus million, like, these are the two that we got, right? But at some point, these people were picked because they tap into and they resonate with a fundamental problem that people have, whether it's identity or poverty or me feeling like I'm seen, not seen, or forgotten, or feeling like something's missing in my life. That's where, like, we can look at this process, and you said it beautifully a second ago, educate yourself on what's going on, educate yourself on issues beyond just policy. Where are these things coming from, and how does the kingdom of God have a solution to these problems? Like, instead of just being voting for an identitarian political party or a working class political party or whatever, like, because you think politics can solve that problem, the kingdom of God has the ultimate solution to those problems. Like, we are a new creation in Christ. There's no greater identity than that. Mm. You know, my God supplies all of our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. You know, Philippians 1:19 says that. And so there's always a better solution to be found in the kingdom of God. And we have a window into what people need by how they vote and the candidates that are put forward.
Yes.
Yep.
Hey, pull up the thing that we were talking about in that text thread, the picture you
sent. Oh, yeah.
So I want to read a couple of things to you. The first thing, Bethany Hicks, I'm in an email thing, and she sent this, and I just thought it was so powerful, and I want to read this to you. We may find ourselves focusing more on what could go wrong than on the God who reigns above it all. But Scripture gives us a much-needed reminder, and I want to encourage you today, don't put more faith in the enemy's ability to steal, kill, and destroy than in God's ability to preserve, keep, and restore.
Come on. Let's get
in John 10:10, Jesus says that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and life to the full. Now, that verse doesn't negate opposition, but rather it emphasizes God's intention and ability to bring life and restoration, and that it far exceeds any threat the enemy can pose. Like when Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, he meant the gospel cannot be overcome.
Right.
There is nothing that can be done to shut the gospel down. Mm. So think about that for a second. All of our fear, all of our worry, all of our concern comes from a belief that something could happen to the gospel.
Yeah.
But rather, I am a spiritual being having a physical experience.
Yep.
And the gospel of Jesus Christ cannot be taken from me. That's why he says, don't fear what man can do to the body.
Yeah, right. Fear the one who can destroy.
That's right.
There you go.
By his own help.
You better fear. You better have fear of the Lord, which, by the way, beginning of understanding, that's wisdom, right?
Yes,
so, hey, let's fear the Lord and put on the helmet of salvation for a second. Have our eyes fixed and anchor ourselves in the truth of God's promises. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Mm-hmm. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. So it doesn't really matter what the outcome of last night was. The truth is still the same. Our hope and our trust is in the Lord.
We just have our task clarified is all. all we have is our task clarified.
Like
It doesn't change the gospel. It doesn't change anything that was true yesterday. Yep. We just have our task clarified because we know what people are thirsty for.
Mm.
And we know how to address it.
It's a great perspective.
That is so good. Really, I do think if you go back and not from trigger, because what we've done is politics helped give us an identity.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It helped us feel seen and known. Which
tribal.
It's my team.
Tribalism.
I'm on the red team. I'm on the red team. Whatever.
Yeah.
And the
belonging.
Yeah, and the that posture tells me that we don't know who we are in Christ.
Right.
Which is something that, you know, Zach has just been hammering a lot. He's like, man, if you knew who you were in Christ, this wouldn't be the outcome.
And if that was the most important thing about you.
Yeah.
First, right? That identity first, and then...
If I'm a Republican who happens to be a Christian...
That's right.
Or a libertarian, or whatever. Like,
yeah.
It has to be Christian first.
That's right.
Or else you've set up an idol in your heart.
Period.
That's right. And so what we want to do is make sure, hey, I know who I am in Christ, and as I move forward, I continue to evaluate, just assess, hey, what was championed over the last 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So like, just think about for a second. And that is just like you said, Justin, it exposes what the world around you is thirsty
mm-hmm.
for. And you know what? You've been given living water.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And you have
Holy
been
Spirit.
Charged to take that living water to the people around
yep.
you.
Yes, you
and so much, we've shared this before, but sharing the gospel is not necessarily, especially with the next generation, the understanding of sin has changed and is different. So people aren't looking necessarily for purity first and to be cleansed from their wrongdoing
mm-hmm.
because you have to actually believe you've done something
see
wrong.
It. Yep, you have to see yourself. Then.
But there is a desperation. Jesus met all the other things first. You know, he met all those other things too. And so what we want to do is bring truth and the power of Jesus Christ and his love to the people around us. And that's how we're going to start seeing a shift. So Justin, Jess, why don't you guys just kind of talk through really quick those thoughts, which are so good.
All right.
And kick it off.
All right. And so this is from a guy named Brian Zond. This is the Christian Voters guy. We actually found it and posted it. I think it was Ray Orland posted it on, and then we shared it with him, who's an incredible pastor. Mm-hmm. These are basically his Ten Commandments for the election season. Number one, the political process, while necessary, has little to do with how God is saving the world.
Which we already touched on.
Yeah, sure.
Through us,
can
right?
Can we be clear? How is the world going to be saved?
Yeah.
It's through the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Okay. Through the gospel of Jesus Christ.
There is no other way. Yeah. And just so we can be clear, if you're listening, there is a God that you were created by, and he loves you, and he wants a relationship with you. You were actually designed to be in relationship with him forever. And he wants to be in relationship with you, but because we are impure and we're broken people, there's no argument about how broken we are. Mm. He had to send his son Jesus to die, that the cost of brokenness would be satisfied, and so that we could be in relationship with God once again. Literally, our spirits could be reunited, resurrected with God. And so if you say, hey, that sounds like really wild and crazy, it absolutely does sound crazy, but Jesus was real. He is the Son of God. He did die on the cross. He stayed dead for 3 days and then was resurrected. And today he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he is welcoming you no matter where you've been,
no matter how you voted,
no matter what you've done. He wants you to be a part of the family of God. And so Jesus and how he restores and redeems is what is going to save the world. Not presidents.
Love it. Two, the fate of the kingdom of God does not depend upon political contests.
Yeah, John 18, one of my favorite verses, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were so, I would have told you.
Yep.
If it was, I would have told you.
He would have told us.
Okay, what's next?
Number three. Oh, I love this one. This one's a little spicy. Don't be naive. Political parties are more interested in Christian votes than they are in Christian values. I think you can insert any ideology in there. I think it's just relevant to us because we are believers.
That's right.
And you saw both candidates in churches.
That's right.
On platforms.
Yeah.
It is not reserved to one party.
No.
That's right.
Because there's a concern or fear. Well, one part. No, it was everybody up there was just clamoring. It is clamoring. And what we have to do as believers is, again, educate ourselves on the issues that are important to us with actual real-life knowledge, not TikTok knowledge.
Yep.
And then look at those problems, see how God's word responds, and then find policy that's most in line with that.
Four. Are we on four?
Yeah, we're on four.
We're on four. The bottom line for political parties is power. The bottom line for a Christian is love. And therein lies the rub. Love.
Yeah.
Well, and you can find 1 Corinthians 13 defines love as patient, kind.
Yes.
If you aren't able to do either of those things today, I would just encourage you to remove yourself from the interwebs for a hot minute.
Yep. Yep. Back on back.
Back on
back.
Back
on back.
Yep. So that we don't find ourselves being unloving.
Right.
So yeah, love. That's how we're gonna do it.
Number five. While in pursuit of the ring of power, you are not permitted to abandon the Sermon on the Mount.
Ooh, that's good. I love the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah.
It tells us how to be
people of
the way.
Like, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who despise you and treat you and abuse you.
It is not painless, by the way. I think that sometimes we just think that this Jesus, you know, following Jesus is supposed to be easy and carefree, and it is really difficult.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Six, okay. If your political passion makes it hard for you to love your neighbor as yourself, you need to turn it down a notch. Back it on back.
I think we need to share mics.
Let's do it.
All right, we're
going to do it. We're doing it. This is live. This is what happens.
Yeah, that's right.
Johnny Swim.
All right. Number seven. Your task is to bring the salt of Christian civility to an ugly and acrimonious political process.
Define that one for me.
Yeah, acrimonious is very Very, very spicy, very, very hateful, very hurtful. Yeah. So, like,
so
I forget what epistle it's in, but I think it's James. He says, let your speech always be seasoned with salt. And that's tying back to what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, like, we are the salt of the earth. Like, and salt for them was, it was a lot of things. It was a preservative, it was a flavor enhancer. Like, it saved things and it made them better. That's what salt did. And so if our speech doesn't save people and make them better, what are we doing with it?
You can keep going.
Sure.
Keep rolling.
All right. Number 8, to dismember the body of Christ over politics is a grievous sin.
Say that one more time.
To dismember the body of Christ over politics is a grievous sin.
I think this is why, Jess, you feel the way you do, the grief you feel, because I have watched people inside the church, and not just in families, because we're watching people in families do it, but inside the church, because you refuse to platform someone that I agree with, you won't say what I want you to say, because there isn't agreement with what I think and feel, I'm not only going to abandon the covenant living that I'm supposed to as a believer, as a part of the body of Christ, I'm not going to work to find a way to love you and work with you and live with you, but rather I'm going to abandon my covenant with the church, and then I'm going to blast you publicly. Mm-hmm. I'm going to slander the church. And it isn't just heartbreaking to like other people who are walking in the middle of that, because it's hurtful for everybody, you know.
Yes.
But it's hurtful to people who are leaving. It's hurtful to people who are being left. But it's hurtful to the Lord. And I always come back to that thought. We've talked about this, Jess and I have, about like when you were in Corinth, if you got mad at somebody in church.
Yeah.
What were you gonna do? Walk 2 weeks to Ephesus?
You can't bounce so easy.
You're not going to the Roman church next week.
You gotta figure it out.
We gotta figure it out.
And to dismember the body is such a bad thing. Like, that's how the enemy keeps us from moving forward. Think about a dismembered body trying to go anywhere or do anything. It won't happen. Like, so that's how the enemy keeps us from moving forward or keep going,
well,
right?
I just think, you know, about like all the Halloween stuff that's just come out, is the little bodies walking, like trying to come together.
Yeah, dismembered.
It was out of pocket this year.
It was too much. Them 8-foot skeletons canceled.
Yeah,
come on, y'all.
It's out of control. Can we rein that in too, by the way?
Yes.
No more dead bodies in your front yards.
Please.
My kids can't even like go. I can't even drive through my neighborhood.
I'm scared. I'm 30 something.
I'm praying in tongues. I'm about to drive by. Okay, do the next one.
Number 9, 2 more. Exercise your liberty to vote your conscience and conviction while accepting that other Christians will do the same and vote differently than you. We did it a few weekends ago, you and Pastor Zach, we said it and then we said it again, so it hit people.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be somebody within our body that votes differently than you do,
mm-hmm.
right?
Well, and I was talking with someone that's just super close to me, and she said, I really struggle believing that a believer would vote for X.
Mm-hmm.
And
I've heard it on social media.
I heard on both sides. And yeah. And I was like, man, what happened to the Apostles' Creed? What happened to, like, let's just get all the way back to the basics of Scripture. And if we can just find some unity there and then do our very best to we are going to disagree, mm-hmm. on how things should be done, because literally there's millions of people.
Yes.
Millions upon millions, yeah, yeah, of people to be stewarded. There's no one way that's going to be best.
Nope.
To be frank.
Nope.
There are some things that just, hey, we disagree with it because biblically, but then outside of those things, you know, there's no rules in there about how to build roads.
There's not.
I wasn't reading anywhere. Like, yeah, hey, you have to use these kinds of tolls. And
where's the part about representative government?
Yeah, that's it, right? So just like something to remember. Hey, the people that you might be frustrated right now, they're people too. And they really do love Jesus. And they want to honor the Lord and see heaven, mm-hmm. brought to earth too.
Yep.
So soften your heart.
All right.
Last one, best
and
one.
And last one. This is definitely the best one. All right. And this goes for whether you won, you lost. It is more important that your soul be full of love than it is for your political team to win the game. I love the way they phrase that, win the game. Because ultimately, It is a Game of Thrones. Not that you used to watch, don't watch that show. But that's all politics is. It's a game of power. Mm-hmm. And power is the idol. I think it was Lord Acton that said absolute power corrupts absolutely. It is an idol that will rot your soul.
Yeah.
If you let it. And if you put that above love, yep, and seeing your neighbor as someone in need of the gospel, then you are lost. You missed it.
Yeah, I think we have to remember that God uses whoever he wants to use, whenever he wants to use them, however he wants to use them.
Yep.
And, you know, we see pagan kings doing the things of God in the Old Testament, which is incredible. We see even Pilate is used to bring about the things that had to be done, the crucifixion of Christ that we would experience.
Jesus even says something. He said, like, you wouldn't have this authority had God not given it to you.
That's right. And so, hey, we're people of hope. Yep. That is, like, that's what honestly sets believers apart, particularly in our culture today. Fatalist thinking is the thinking of the world. Mm. And you are not bound by destiny. You actually serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are experiencing, things can be different. They're designed to be different. You're designed to be different, to be completely transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something, and not conform to the patterns of this world. So can we just encourage you today, and as you reflect on how maybe you're super bummed, maybe you're really excited. I choose always, hey, no matter what happens, I already know who I serve.
Yep.
And I don't serve President Trump or Vice President Harris. I serve the God of the universe. And I am filled with the Spirit. I'm a temple walking around with living water for thirsty people. When that's the view in which we see all things, all of a sudden, all things become secondary.
Yep.
Yes.
Don't be deceived and become entangled in civilian affairs, right, which was my word 1 year. That's my verse 1 year. But rather, bend your will to serve your commanding officer, who is God. So any final thoughts? Everybody's heart's okay? Today's just tense. Stay out, honestly. It is. Like, it's just going to be tense. But you're going to have to choose to be mature. I'm not trying to, like, be a dig at anybody. Hey, like, we need to make a decision to choose maturity in Christ over satisfying the flesh.
Yep.
Like, today is a day to die to yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Jesus. And you said, when you bent your knee to Jesus, hey, I'm going to follow him, I'm going to win the world, that what I think and what I want, my desires, all fall to the wayside.
Yep.
I broke them on Jesus' feet. I gave them to him as an offering. And instead, I picked up my cross. And again, not always painless. Actually, often all the time, I feel like. Mm. Following Jesus is painful.
Yep. Cross is splinters, for sure.
Yes. Yeah. So, hey, we love you. We believe in you. And we're just encouraging you. Make the wise choice today. Get in the Word today. Allow the Holy Spirit to transform your heart and your mind. And if you were convicted, hey, remember, like, God, conviction is a gift from the Lord, that we would turn away from things that aren't honoring to him and what's not best for us, but to walk in the way of Jesus, the higher way. Yep. The best way is God's way. So we love you, we believe in you, and we'll see you here next time.